So guys, we don't have any higher place to get to than we already sang about with what Chuck was sharing, with that vision of the table, that vision of eternal acceptance and connection with God the Father and with Jesus and with each other. There's nothing higher than that. And yet, as we sit in the pews and we get ready for school or work or whatever else that stresses you out and wears you out, it seems really far away, right? It seems really far of like, how do we get to that good connection, that relationship that lasts? And when you hear even just that word about lasting, for me, it's a hard word, right? I think early on, I was never super drawn to like, I'm going to get a bunch of stuff or something like that, and that'll matter. I think we probably all have learned this lesson of like, if we put our heart into stuff, like it fails us, right? One of my buddies just told me this truck that he's been working on a ton. I just heard like, after all this work, the transmission now has gone out. It's just like, he worked so hard to get it ready to go and then just failed him again. And a lot of us have had that experience with stuff, right? Like no matter what we put into it, you can't force it to stay good forever. And it's one thing when it's a house or a car or whatever. The sad thing, if you look back over your life, you've probably learned, is no matter how hard you try or force it, there's probably relationships that you wanted to work that didn't work. Whether it's a friendship or a marriage or a relationship with a family member. Maybe there's some of them that you realize like, ooh, I destroyed that. I blew that up. But maybe there's some that you really tried at and you still couldn't make them last. Have you guys experienced anything like that? I mean, it's like I'm getting like sad, like, ooh. So I want to tell you about a song lyric that I came across that made me really sad. But first, I want to mention a few friendships of mine over the years. So we're going to come back to these. But my closest friends when I was like under 10 years old, Brian and Matt, kids I used to walk to school with, very, very close. We hung out every day together. But as we got a little bit older, like it just didn't last, right? And I'm sure you guys probably had friendships like that, probably, that didn't last. But then, in my young teenage years, I met some friends that weren't just like neighbors of mine, and that's why we were friends. I met some friends that were like, we liked some of the same stuff, right? And they accepted me, which is a big question when you're young, especially. And I thought they stood up for me as well. And maybe that's a big piece of what we're looking for in friendships. But as you can imagine with people that you're friends with when you're like 13, like it's hard for those things to make it very far. And I kind of always had in my mind, like, we're going to all turn 18. We're going to get out of the town that we're in and maybe we won't still be friends. That was still in my mind. But when I was a young adult, like 18 through early 20s, I got really close to a group of friends. And I thought, like, here it is. Like, me and these guys, like, we're really meant to be friends. You know, like, we're close. We're like family. This is going to last, right? I was listening to this song. This was a few years ago, but it still made me really depressed. So here's what it says. This is To Be Young by the Tall Heights. And so we're going to come to about six lines of the song. It says, when I was young, I told myself I'd keep my friends. They were good, and I was true. Didn't need to end. So what he's talking about is like that friendship, there was no reason for that friendships or those friendships to end. And most of you probably experienced this too. The most prideful, sure of myself, confident I've ever been was like those years, right? Like late teens, early 20s. Lots of confidence, right? So the song goes on, next couple lines. This next slide says, oh, but how they've risen, they've fallen, about these friendships like the sun circles around. This idea that like there was a time for them, but it didn't last. This next line is where like I was just like, ugh. Guess I've done just as well as anyone. Hard to accept it. I'm just anyone. Now, here's what made me sad about it is I could have looked around at a lot of other groups of friends when I was 22 and thought like, oh, yeah, like their friendships won't last. But me and my buddies, like we all hitchhiked together. You know, we all did this like silly stuff together. Like we'll really last, right? And so the that last line up there was like a shot to my pride. Like the reason I thought those friendships was last is like I thought I was special, right? Like, and I bet you've all had some sort of realization in your life when stuff didn't work out the way you wanted it to, where you had to like be like, it's pretty hard to accept it. But I guess like I run into all the same stuff that everybody else does. Like, I guess I can't by myself make this stuff work out. Hard to accept it. I'm just anyone. So the passage we're going to read today, it's not directly about friendship necessarily, but we're going to look at it through this lens of friendship, because the thing that's important for us today, if you're in the room, if you've gotten to this spot in your life of like life hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to, and if I am honest, the reason is I'm not as special as I used to think I was. Because the one constant between Brian Schubert and Matt Calvert in elementary school, and Corey Helling and Rob McCullough in middle school and high school, and then those six guys I hitchhiked with, the one constant is like I'm in all those groups of friends. You know, like I can't tell you if Rob has some lifelong friend or whatever. You know, like we've lost touch. But like the one constant that I know about is like I was in all those groups of friends, and they all kind of faded. Not that some of those college guys like I still know, but like not the way I thought we would. So if you're at that spot, if you're humble enough to say, like, I can't do it, I can't make good things last, then I think this passage has something for us. So today we're going to read the Bible in a little different way. Sometimes we do something different with our body. It helps our heart and our mind and even our heart to focus different. So if you're able today, I want us to all stand up while we read these five verses. So we're in John chapter 8, verse 15. And if you're able to stand, it might feel like silly, like, okay, why are we going to stand just to read and then sit down? But in American culture a long time ago, used to stand up as a sign of respect. We don't do that often anymore. But today, let's have that respect as we come to this. This is going to be Jesus talking about himself. Last week, he made this big claim that he's the light of the world. And then this is where we pick up in verse 15. So you got a Bible where John chapter 8, verse 15, he's talking to these people that challenged him when he said that he's the light of the world. And here's what he tells them. He says, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Okay, you guys can sit down. So John 8:15 through 20, about five or six verses there. What does it tell us about Jesus? It tells us quite a bit. The very first thing I want to point out, very small detail. Jesus said this. He's at the temple. People are showing up to try to be connected to God, but it's where the offerings are being put. You know, this is not a little closed room. Jesus is making this a big proclamation, right? If you're here today, Jesus wants you to be in on this conversation, okay? A few things I want to point out today. One is right off the bat, Jesus says, "I'm not judging." That's where we get this very first verse, verse 15. "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." If you look at the Bible as a whole, there's this idea of Jesus coming back a second time, and he does make very clear, sheep and the goats, like who has connected with God and who hasn't. But John 3:16, which somebody this last week memorized after last week's sermon about talking about memorizing. I talked to somebody this week, memorized John 3:16, but this is the idea that Jesus' mission coming in this was to show God's love. And right after that, a little bit later in John 3, it talks about Jesus not coming to condemn the world, but to save the world. So if you're here today, very first thing to note is that Jesus is offering you acceptance. I remember one of the big things that drew me to Corey and Rob when I was like a sixth grader or seventh grader was like, I knew right off the bat in middle school, like I'm not a very cool kid. There's already like 80% of the people I might as well not even try with to be friends, right? It was just like, not going to accept me, right? Because I'm wearing like the Quicksilver shirt and like the corduroys. That's what was popular and like when I was a little kid, right? So I knew right away, like there's a bunch of people who won't accept me. I shouldn't even try. If you're here today, no matter what you've done, right out of the gate, I want to tell you, today, Jesus' mission with you isn't to judge you. Today, Jesus is offering you acceptance. Like, that's where things start with Jesus. He wants to take you somewhere different, but he's not rejecting you. You have this chance at relationship with Jesus. There will come a day where Jesus shows up and it's time to judge. That's not the time to build the relationship. Like, today is the day to build a relationship with Jesus. A lot of us, we don't even try with people because we just assume they won't accept us. And maybe you haven't tried with God because you assume, like, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, probably. But Jesus is here today saying, I will start fresh with you today. So that's what we got to know right out of the gate. Next thing I want us to tell us is, look at Jesus' connection with God the Father. He keeps taking it back to God the Father. He says here in verse 16, if he does judge, his decisions are true. Listen to this. Because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. There's so much packed into that. We have such a fear of being alone, of having nobody really stand with us. But here Jesus is saying, I'm standing with God. And that who sent me, Jesus is saying, like, I obey God. Just like in verse 12, we looked at last week, Jesus said, if we will follow him, we'll have his light in us. Here Jesus is saying, I'm already doing that with God the Father. Like, God stands with me because I do what he tells me to do. I can remember Corey and Rob, best moment of our friendship, probably standing next to these yellow lockers, some other kids trying to pick a fight with me, and like Corey and Rob were right there next to me. Best moment in our friendship, right? Like they didn't run away. A lot of us have had moments where we wanted somebody to be standing next to us and they didn't stand next to us, right? Jesus is saying here, he's the type of person, him and God have this relationship where they stand together. And Jesus' confidence comes from knowing that God is right there with him. That Jesus obeys God and God stands beside him. Jesus wants us to have that same relationship with him. That we would obey him and he would stand there, right there with us, right? If you're here today and you're like, man, I want God to be with me. I want to have that experience, that relationship that God the Father has with Jesus. I want that. Two things you can do. Ask God for help. I can tell you, like, I got knocked over on the track in middle school by this punk kid. And after that, I stuck with Corey and Rob, like, the rest of the day, right? Like, I stuck with my buddies once I knew, like, uh-oh, like, stuff's happening at school, right? Basically, I was wanting their help. Some of you got a lot going on in your life. Like, you've been knocked on the ground, and you should realize, like, more stuff is up ahead. It's time to ask God to get involved in your life. Don't think like, oh, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm just going to pray for this other person. All of us are not so far along that we don't need to ask God for anything for ourselves. Right? Like, ask God for things. Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, it involves us asking for things. We just need to have that humility to say, like, I'm going to ask God to help with whatever I'm worried about or stressed about. Ask him to help. He can always tell you no. But if you don't ask him for help, you're not inviting him to stand next to you, right? But there's that second half of what Jesus talks about. Like, he does what Jesus said. He goes where God sent him. So ask him for help, but watch for that opportunity. Every single day, we talked about this in the parking lot one time back during COVID, about that little T, if you remember it. Kyle, it still sticks up with him, right? That like every day, God's going to tee something up for you. Every day, God's going to give you a chance to obey him. Every day, there's this opportunity for you to stand beside him, right? Because Corey and Rob, I mean, that friendship didn't last. But if the very next day they were having somebody give them trouble, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm not in. I'm out, you know, it would have been the end of it, right? God the Father and Jesus' relationship works because they both stand together, right? Jesus is going to ask you to stand with him too. There's going to be somebody that is not convenient to help or that is humbling for you to share a truth or something. There's going to be something he asks you to do. So just get him involved both ways. Ask him for help and watch for when he asks you for help. It might sound kind of strange for Jesus to ask your help. It's not that he needs help because he can't lift something, but it is, he's literally going to ask you, like, hey, do this thing with me. Look for it. If you want a relationship with Jesus, look for what he wants to do with you, right? And it might be like quit smoking or whatever. It might be like stop doing something, but my guess is it's not just stop doing stuff. It's going to be do these things with me, right? Help this person, take care of this other person, be open and vulnerable, right? Confess to somebody else or show up somewhere, right? Final kind of friendship point we're going to get to today is that Jesus reveals the Father. This one is hard to grasp. The same guys that walk right through this Gospel of John with Jesus, that stand up for him at different points, his closest friends, I believe it's John 14, one of them, Thomas, will be like, show us the Father. Like, we still haven't seen it. You know, like, even Jesus is talking about it right here, and even his closest friends still don't get this point, okay? So don't miss it. The Pharisees are like, where is your Father? And Jesus says, you don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you'd know my Father also. This is a giant statement from Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you know me, then you know the God of the universe, right? Jesus is saying, like, I'm such a good representation of God. I'm this perfect representation that if you knew me, then you know God. And this is a giant claim. I mean, Jesus is claiming, like, if you look at me, you're looking at God. And so when you look at the lifestyle that Jesus has, there's a lot of quality time with the Father. It's a little bizarre to think about, like being in Jesus' shoes and you could heal anybody that's blind. You could solve any sort of crisis with a miracle. You could speak truth to people, know their thoughts. You could have the right answer. He still spends a lot of time getting all by himself to just pray and be with the Father. If Jesus needed a lot of quality time with God the Father, what do we need? A lot of quality time, right? Probably more even, right? Because when you spend time with Jesus, if you've ever gone for a long walk and just tried to pray during the walk, or if you've ever read a big chunk of the Bible and just tried to connect with Jesus, if you've ever done anything and said, like, I'm really here to meet Jesus, I bet you walked away from it different. Like, Jesus has this transforming presence, right? And as much as we might want a friend who accepts us, as much as we might want a friend who stands with us, there's this deep hunger in us to have a friend who knows us, right? Who really understands. And that is, it's rare to even approach that. And actually, as sad as this might sound, like here on earth, I don't think you're going to find some other person that's going to fully understand you. Verse in Proverbs talks about, like, every heart knows its own sorrow and no one else can share in its joy. Like, there's this idea that, like, you've been through something. Ernie's been through something that I will never fully get, right? Even though we're friends, it's never going to be 100% understanding, right? My favorite promise in the book of Revelations is this idea that Jesus says, if you overcome, if you stick with me, he says, when we see each other face to face, I'm going to give you a stone, a white stone, and on it is going to be a name that's a secret just between me and you. He's going to give Jerry, not the name Jerry on a rock, he's going to give Jerry Jerry's real identity. And I don't think it's that like no one else will get to look at it. I think there's this idea that like only Jerry and Jesus can fully grasp Jerry's identity in Christ, right? Who he's fully meant to be, only Jesus can really understand him and really know him. But what I've learned from friendships is quality time together, a whole lot of it leads to these moments where people know you. Corey, that kid that stuck next to me in middle school, we were in high school, I interrupted him while he was telling a story. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you tell the story. You know, we had done a dry ice bomb together or something, I think. I can't remember for sure what we had done. And Corey, I'll never forget this. I look over Corey, I'm like, you tell the story. And Corey's like, no, Jake, you just tell it. You're a better storyteller. I mean, it was kind of like this, like, it was this weird statement. The reason I remember it so much is, like, I didn't think of myself as a storyteller at the time. When I was in college, those same guys that hitchhiked with me asked me to tell them a story. We were sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire, and I told them this really long story I made up, and they all, like, were mesmerized by it, and they thought I was this great storyteller. I realized, like, my friends knew something about me that I didn't know about myself, right? That, like, God wired me to be able to tell stories, and that there's a piece that he wants to shine through me in that. It's pretty amazing when you have a friend see something in you that you don't know, right? But it comes with that quality time together. And Jesus is the only one who's going to really fully know you. But if you're going to really fully know him at your full capacity, you have to have that quality time with him. You can get a group of people going to small group here every week for 52 weeks out of the year. And then they go on the men's camp out and they sit around a fire for 3 hours. And like things change, right? I can remember Matt sitting in a chair that we had selected as like the storyteller chair. And he didn't know that. So when he sat, he had to like tell his like testimony, his story, right? Like I know things about Matt that I never knew before, right? That same night, Daniel, who I know super well, told a story about this like tragedy in his teenage years like I'd never heard about, right? There's something about like that open space around a fire that just like you go deeper. So I got this little image here. Some of you are not campfire people, but I've got this candle here. Here's what I'll tell you. If you go home this week and you get your hands on a candle and you light that candle and you say like, Jesus, I just want to know you better. And this is kind of weird, but Jake told me to do this, so I'm just hanging out with you. And maybe you read a little bit from John first. My guess is you're going to linger with Jesus more than you're normally used to. And my guess is if you linger with Jesus more than you're normally used to, like he'll encourage you. And Jesus encourages us in a lot of ways, but the best thing he gives us is himself. And so there's nothing special about a candle. There's nothing special even really about fire necessarily. But there's something special about saying like this time is for me and you. And if you will give that to Jesus to say like, Jesus, I want acceptance from you. Jesus, I want us to stand by each other. And Jesus, I want us to know each other. Then you're going to have this confidence that Jesus has in chapter 8. You're going to have something that lasts. And it's not going to be because you're so strong. It's going to be because finally you've connected with Jesus who can make it last, right? Everything else I've ever touched in life, like if God wasn't involved, like it didn't last. God's the thing that doesn't rust. God's the baseline, foundational, permanent thing. And you can go straight to that source and have a relationship.